What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Look Mum, I'm Hustling podcast, episode 109.
What's going on, guys?
It's mix up funny. The energy for I once. Know. You can't come in here stale and somber all the time.
No, I know. And we've both got like fresh clothes on, so it's new.
Yeah, because we wear unfresh clothes and stinky clothes all the time.
Well, I guess
thanks for giving away our secret.
Yeah, I guess we wear secondhand clothes, but the new-ish secondhand
Look,
clothes.
Look, Mum, we are hustling, but we're not doing laundry.
No.
Imagine, I don't know of a couple of people, but I imagine there's plenty of people that live away from home but still get their parents to do their laundry for them.
Oh, 100%, without a doubt. Like, without a doubt.
Now, you're a bum. You're basically a bum at that point.
Yeah, or just lazy, yeah. Just get your own washing machine.
Lazy bum.
It's not that hard. You know, we deal with not only personal clothes, but like business clothes, and it's a lot, and we do both. So, you know.
We even wash our sheets from time to time, which is a whole different world.
More from time to time. It's usually weekly, every 2 weeks, because we have a dog, so it's probably better to wash them more frequent than a lot of people out there.
They do say cleanliness is next to
godliness.
That's correct. Did you learn that in Catholic school?
No, I don't think so.
I learned that from a cartoon. So
did you? Do you remember which cartoon?
It wasn't a cartoon. It was actually a claymation.
Right. Right. Was it
Moral Oral, Adult Swim.
Oh, I was going to say like Gumbo or something.
Gumby?
Gumby, yes.
Gumbo is the South American
comedian dude?
Cuisine.
Oh. Yeah. I saw there's like a Gumbo comedian, right? He's got like the big, like the cigar and stuff, isn't he? Isn't that dude called Gumbo? Am I correct?
Comedian Jeremy Gumbo Christian. There is, but I think you're making a horrible connection.
Like, isn't he have the big moustache and the cigar?
Fluffy?
No, this is like an old, like, black and white, like, comedian.
Black and, wait, what?
Like, old school, like, black
TV's
and white.
Black and white?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's a bit different.
Yeah.
Gumbo
comedian. Show me the photo. Is this the dude I'm thinking of? No, Gumbo comedian. No.
That's not the Gumbo you're thinking of.
Just go, like, cigar?
Cigar comedian.
Cigar Gumbo, wow. Cigar. Yeah, that dude. Who's that guy?
Isn't he one of the Three Stooges?
Maybe. No, this is just a cigar.
Steve Harvey, Mark Maron, Whoopi Goldberg, Lucille Ball.
No, it's not.
Joe Rogan.
No.
Groucho Marx.
No, it's Groucho. Yes, that's the dude I'm thinking of. Groucho.
Groucho. Okay. Yeah. G and O, I can see the similarities.
Groucho. Yes. Okay. That's the dude I'm thinking of. That's fine. I was wrong. It's all good. I'm usually wrong.
That's
what are you looking at?
Seafood gumbo.
Yeah, I know that gumbo.
So we go from cleanliness and that's a godliness to South American food cuisine to a black and white comedian in a matter of 14 seconds.
It's the way the brain works.
Yeah, not well. Not well at all. We're going to get some magic wand to have later so we can actually finally tap in and wake up a little
and
bit.
I was pretty excited to get that back. That's good.
Yeah, so we wash our clothes basically. Far out. This podcast, it's something else to tell you. It's something else.
It's fun. Well, it's like I picked up the shirt that you're wearing, like I found, but I had no idea who it was. And you're like, it's actually a really good shirt. I was like, nice. Good stuff.
I have no idea who he is, but it's a $100 shirt, so I'll wear it.
Yeah, fair enough. Secretly expensive clothes we wear most of the time.
Secretly expensive?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you dress like Post Malone.
That's true. Because he collects, wasn't there like a YouTube video of him like going to like a vintage store and spending like heaps of money on vintage shirts and stuff?
Yeah. It was a girl on TikTok, Instagram, all the platforms, I guess, and she runs a store. I don't know what her account's called or anything. And it's basically her content's a man on the street type of content. You know how people walk around the street with a microphone, like a Vox Pop star with a microphone asking questions?
Mm-hmm.
She basically does that at the front of her store.
Yeah.
But it might be like, oh, what fashion trends are cool these days? And it's just like, just customers. Mm-hmm. And she's just making content out of her customers. Pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure you went to her store.
Right.
And being resellers ourselves and dealing with clothing, is the question always becomes, so like, where do you get your stuff? And that's basically what he's asking.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he wants to like steal her suppliers or anything. It's just, he's just curious
where it comes from.
So I think he just asks her like, oh, wait, this is crazy. Like, where do you get all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And then she just has the typical answer of like, oh, you know, like I just know some people. Like,
yeah, mainly from probably like shipping containers and stuff.
Probably, yeah. Speaking of shipping containers.
Yes. Is that some sort of...
Zero segue.
Okay. Not speaking of shipping containers.
What are we going to talk about today? We've got some social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have some stuff about women in leadership. And I think one way we can dive into that is the most skeptical. I found this article this morning. Can you bring it up? I think it's going to tap into your areas of interest of late.
Right. So Belle of the
Hang on, let me get rid of this big bonnet.
I've seen these.
So and the reason I bring it up is because you've been balls deep into Sarah J. No, not balls deep. I mean,
Sorry, that was sorry for the people that are listening. That was a very loud noise.
Boobs deep into Sarah J. Maas's Court of
Thornton
franchise.
Rings. Yeah,
the Court of is it called the Court of franchise?
No, they call it. There's like an acronym for it, like ACOTAR Game of Thrones. Is different. Yeah.
It's called Game of Thrones, the trilogy or whatever it is. The saga. What is the saga actually called?
They call it ACOTAR. So like
ACOTAR,
a Court of Thorns and Roses. So like that, it's they give it an acronym.
You're missing the point, I think.
I don't know what it is you're trying to say. And
you know how Game of Thrones is the book is Song of Ice and Fire.
Ah, yes.
But overall, the entire saga is called mm-hmm. something. Do you understand the question I'm asking? So what's her one called?
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
So it's named after the first book, or all of them?
Throne of Glass. Crescent.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you saying the series has a name.
Is the name of the first book applied to the entire saga, like Star Wars, for example?
Yeah. That's what I think is happening. But it's like, by seeing like knees deep in it, I'm literally just into like half of the second book.
You read one book, yeah. Anyway, there's an article here about BookTok drives demand for immersive fantasy events among younger users. Mm-hmm. So immediately I was thinking about COVID. Everyone's been locked down. Don't want to get some human connection, some mm-hmm. events going, trying to get back out into society. Before COVID, one of the, I guess, more popular things, if you didn't want to go to the cinemas or out for drinks and stuff, would be like an escape room.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is escapism in a sense, but for women just to basically hang out and...
Women? It's for men too. Look, there's heaps of men in the photos. Heaps of men.
Well, if the men will have long hair, so it's hard to distinguish.
Yeah. So I would say this is probably more similar to cosplaying than it is to...
Well, there's always been those...
Like Comic Cons and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, but also
book cons.
Like reenactments where they reenact like Civil War.
Yeah.
This is not a Civil War, but mm-hmm. when they do like basically real life like Warhammer like meetups and they dress up and shit. It is mm-hmm. cosplay, I guess, but it's more not based around like an expo. It's based around like a monthly event where you go mm-hmm. to the park and you pay like Quidditch or something.
Yeah, it would be like, or going to a special like Halloween like night party or something and everyone like dresses up. Like it's just a night to be able to dress up and pretend to be someone else for a while. Yeah. So like I've seen these. Apparently these are super expensive as well to get into.
They're like $1,000.
Yeah. But what I've seen is like people wear obviously like as if you're going to a big, massive, like, ball. So you wear, like, these massive gowns and you put, like, little tips on your ears so you're, like, a fairy. So you got, like, little corner ears or you wear makeup and stuff. So it's, like, it's a fantasy ball.
So guests at a fantasy ball participate in a choreographed dance.
It's very, like 1800s kind of, like, dance sort of thing. So very kind of new century, like, what's the word?
Colloquialism.
Not colloquialism, but like the colony. What's the colony word? It's like the new colony.
Colonialism.
Yes, that one. It's like that kind of dance sort of
stuff. You're making me say these 8-syllable words trying to mess me up.
No.
And I see what you're doing. This is from CNN. Over the past 2 years, a wave of new companies has started hosting fantasy-themed balls, masquerades, and similar immersive events for adults, benefiting from a combination of post-pandemic millennial and Gen Z consumers eager to spend money on experiences. Tickets range from $60 for one night to thousands of dollars for multi-day group getaways. And I think there was a specific...
The fairy?
Sarah J. Court of Thorn and Roses.
Yeah, there would have to be. Because you go on like Instagram or like BookTok or whatever it is you want to call it, and you have these handsome gentlemen that like cosplay as like these male romance leads, and then these females they'll be he's popular within the space, and then they'll go to these events as if it's like a celebrity signing.
So they get to dance with the dudes have tapped into that the ratios there is massively in their favor.
Yes, yes.
So all they have to do is pretend to mm-hmm. be into the series, and mm-hmm. they're probably. Pick up like crazy.
Oh, no, they get paid for it. I saw one dude like dressed up as like Riseland is like one of the main characters in the book and I came across it. But he dresses up as like he cosplays as that character. So then these fantasy ball events will pay these people to be there and they'll sit on a throne or they'll sit there as if they're like the celebrity.
I suppose, yeah, because when you speaking of expos and Comic Cons and cosplay, people mm-hmm. dress up as Spider-Man and stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably not many of these like events where people are dressing up as everyone from the Marvel Universe. Maybe you can get booked as like a kids' party or something.
Yes.
But when you can tap in to some sort of world
mm-hmm.
that has beloved fans like this,
yeah.
and they're people that are in their 20s and 30s that have money to spend, and they're probably lacking romance in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Dudes are tapped. That's tapped into a
yeah.
a desperate market.
So you feel like a, I don't know, like a seed grade actor, or I shouldn't say that. Like if you're like an actor or like a model or something,
let's
like
stick with C.
Yeah, seed grade actor or like a model or something, and then that's like your side gig is cosplaying as a book character. Then you go to book signings and events and all that kind of thing, and you get paid to be there.
Signing a book, but just being a random guy that's been able to afford $400 on an outfit.
Yeah. So if you search, like, see if you can Google like Rysland cosplay, maybe Instagram.
Or do you want to
R Y L S A N D cosplay?
Which
R Y L S A N D cosplay? Maybe. Yeah, like the first ones. Yeah. Yes. It's like that dude. He's like and he dresses up. He has like purple contact lenses in and stuff, and then he gets like paid to be at these events and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, they set like a chair for him, so then people can like dance or take photos. Just like having like paid actors and stuff to be there, essentially.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the event for Court of Thorn of Roses, tickets mm-hmm. went on sale last summer. The event quickly sold out at more than 1,000 participants, each paying between $230 Ooh. To $320.
That's pretty gangster. Because
it's
all you
a quarter
have to
of a million
do,
dollars.
I know. Because all you'd have to do is, like, if you're an event coordinator, you just have to book out, like, a castle or, like, a, you know, like, just a vintagey kind of, like, looking place.
That's a quarter of $1 million.
I know. That's why I said it's pretty gangster. And then you just have to have, like, really cool decorations and stuff.
Yeah,
and then people bring their own costumes
and whatever.
Profit
margin is so high. What's the cost? 15, max 20 to, like, put all that together and hire a venue?
Yeah.
They're making so much bank.
Mm-hmm. You'd
we
have
should
to do,
some do
sort of
this.
Castle. Yeah. Put it on the
castle, pretty rare in Australia.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd have any, but I'd be able to like some sort
gazebo.
Of
gazebo.
Like, yeah, gazebo, Hyde Park gazebo. But all this is like in America. There's not really anything. There probably is stuff here in Australia that's very low key and not like marketed very well. But yeah, like it's
So this past year has seen a spike in the popularity of romantasy.
Mm-hmm. Romance fantasy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's always kind of been around. We had Vampire Diaries, Twilight.
That's a TV show. Oh, no, Vampire Diaries.
But like in the world of like non-human romance, basically, which is basically fantasy romance.
Yeah.
Which is romanticy.
Mm-hmm. Romanticy. But yeah. Yeah, Vampire Diaries was a book first beforehand anyway. But yeah, been around for ages. Look at all those characters.
And people love just
dressing up.
Dressing up. I mean, that's kind of the emphasis of the metaverse. Yeah. Obviously, it's going to take another 20 years before it's fully immersive and people are in there. They want to be someone that they're not. They don't want to be their 9-to-5 person, version of themselves.
It'd be similar because, like, you get to have a bit of – obviously, you can dress up as a character from a book, but, like, just say if you want to be, like, a fae character or just, like, a mystical character, you have a little bit more creativity to, like, be whoever you want. And it's kind of similar to, like, you know, those medieval there's a term for it as well, but like those medieval events and stuff where people
dress
up.
That's what I was trying to say before.
Is that the one you're thinking of, the medieval ones?
Yeah,
well,
they go and hang out at the park on a weekend and have like fake medieval fights. They reenact them. That's kind of what I was trying to –
gotcha.
I didn't have the word medieval.
Yeah, but that's what they do. Those weekends away, like they'll book like this cabin sort of – you know, like in primary school or high school, you go to this area for like camping or whatever, just like a bunch of cabins and like woodlands.
I never went to school camp. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry, I forgot about that. Anyway, you go.
It's a touchy subject. You brought it up so many times.
But yeah, it was just like book out for the weekend and then everyone would have events and parties and, you know, they'd have barmaids and senators and what's that movie with
Harry and the Hendersons is right.
No,
there.
No, like the bully one. It's got who's the
mean
dude
girls.
That says wow all the time?
Wow.
Wow.
Clueless?
No. Royal Tenenbaums.
She's All That?
No.
Spice World?
No. His brother was in like Legally Blonde. He's got like blonde hair and stuff. He was
Cruel
in Zoolander.
Intentions?
Who's the blonde dude in Zoolander? I can't remember his name for the life of me.
Owen Wilson.
Yes, yeah. So there's like a movie that he's in.
Wedding Singers.
No.
Wedding Crashers.
No, it's terrible. This is terrible. Never mind. Anyway, there's like a movie that he's in where he like babysits kids or he's like a babysitter.
The Babysitter.
I don't know if it's called The Babysitter.
Daddy Daycare.
No, I don't think it's that one. Anyway, there's like the kids and they go to it's got the McLovin kid in there as well, I think. But there's just like a weekend away and it's like a medieval thing. You know that movie?
And the son's into it.
The son's into it and then he's like babysitting or like wants to hook up with the mom and then the
well, I'm just typing,
you know,
oh,
the
Wilson,
doctor
medieval.
Actor.
Medieval full fun land?
No. That's a maybe it's not Owen Wilson. Maybe it's someone else. Oh, it's American
If you haven't this is the first time you're tuning in, this is the game where we, what the hell is that guy doing?
I don't know.
This is the game where we hunt for movies based on poor. This is basically charades.
Who's the
charades? Even though Google's right in front of you.
You know the movie Evolution. Who's the blonde dude? Was also in American Pie.
He's got three names to his three words. Three names to his name.
Maybe it was him.
Stifler.
Yeah.
Stifler Medieval. Role models?
Yes, that's the one. And Paul Rudd. Yeah, so the kid's like into like medieval and stuff. So that's the movie. Thank you. We got there. Wrong blonde dude. Yeah, so then they've got like a scene where they have like that weekend where they kind of go away and they kind of fight
William
and stuff.
Scott. All right, we need some magic mind to focus because that was the worst game of movie charades we've ever played in our life.
Oh, man. We got there though, but if we had this beforehand, we might have been able to get there quicker.
We would have had ESP almost. You would have just been able to communicate telepathically.
Yeah. But there's like, that's what I like. And I was really excited before, when you said we're going to get the magic mind and everything, because I really enjoyed it last time because it just helped not only with the pod, but it just kind of helped me sharpen a little bit because I have the coffee and it doesn't always work properly. And I feel like I'm still stumbling over my words and everything, but this,
it doesn't always work properly.
No.
Your brain or the coffee?
A bit
or the connection between the two.
Maybe the connection between the two. But
so the last month since we had magic mind has kind of been kind of a mediocre, dull month, right?
Been a bit fuzzy, I think.
A little fuzzy?
Yeah. But having this, it just kind of helps with that coffee kick. But I don't know. It works that little bit different, I find. Maybe it's because it's just a better version of caffeine.
It's kind of like a more stable, slow release influx of caffeine. Mm-hmm. Not even caffeine, rather. It's just of energy.
Yeah.
Like you said, we drink a lot of coffee, but you can start having severe crashes if you have too much mm-hmm. as I do. And something that Magic Mind has is green tea and some adaptogens from some of these mushrooms. I know we've talked about before trying to get out of that morning brain fog, mm-hmm. whether to have like mushroom tea with like lion's mane and different adaptogens and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Whereas kind of like just like a, I guess like a broth almost, like a beef broth but made from like different mushrooms. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be really good for helping you like just have more clarity and focus and stuff for the day. Mm-hmm. And this has kind of got some of those features in terms of it's got some of the adaptogens in the actual drink.
Mm-hmm. And it probably tastes nicer as well.
And it tastes a lot nicer, that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. We've done fasting before and drinking bone broth at the end of it is kind of like, I need something mm-hmm. sweet because, you know, that saltiness from a broth or from a mushroom tea is mm-hmm. just, you know, I'd rather have a juice, basically.
Yeah. And then I had this the other day. Like, I was working all day and it kind of hit like 1 o'clock and I didn't want to have another coffee. Like, I try not to drink coffee past midday, but I forgot that I had that with me, the Magic Mind. And then I had that and I just felt so much better. I didn't have that at 3 o'clock, kind of like, you know, where you hit the wall. You just like, all you want to do is take a nap, but I'm at work and I can't. So, you know, it just really helped out overcome that kind of hurdle.
You get to cruise through the day as opposed to like getting into fifth gear and then essentially running out of gas too soon. Yeah. You can kind of just cruise on the freeway. Mm-hmm. You know, third gear, just steady pace. That's what I love about it. And the best part is that passion fruit at the end.
Yeah, you love that sweetness.
That sweetness at the end, delicious. If you're looking for a bit more focus and clarity and stability in terms of your energy throughout the day, give Magic Mind a go. They're just little juice shots. You just down them like any other shot.
Yes.
Not super sweet, but there's a bunch of vitamins and minerals as well as those adaptogens and the green tea from Matcha. Mm-hmm. You can visit magicmind.com/lookmum for a discount and you can use the code LOOKMUM, that's LOOKMUM, mm-hmm. for the Australian version of mum.
Yes,
LOOKMUM20 for 20% off one-time purchases and subscriptions. Mm-hmm. So you went you started doing this Women in Leadership, I guess like module or coaching as part of your work.
Yes.
That's kind of, I was trying to lead in earlier from the book talk.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's, you know, segue role models. So.
Oh, that was well done.
My day job, I'm a retail manager. I've been in the, I guess, manager-ish role for probably like 5, 6, 7 years now. I've kind of just
8, 9, 10 maybe.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. I've been with the same company for like almost 20 years. So I've just like slowly kind of worked my way up and kind of learned skills and everything and kind of like along the way. You know, as a female and a female in management, it's kind of always been a little bit harder. And it's probably in the last like 5 years, it's gotten heaps better, but it was very much, you know, a male dominated kind of space, and it was hard for women to kind of, I guess, put their hand up and be like, hey, look at me, you know, I can do this too. And it's just something I kind of learned throughout time, just having that confidence and being able to, I don't know, back myself in a way. And this program that I've been, well, they actually asked if I wanted to be a part of it, which I said, awesome, because there's only about, I think, 12 women from the company that are doing it as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Celebrate that many.
No, no, it's not many. And it's just like kind of focusing on obviously developing skills, and not only within the workplace, but also like outside as well. And this week was just like the introductory kind of class. You sort of meet the people that's in your module and, you know, just grabbing ideas. And like the first thing they sort of were talking about was like, what are some of the hurdles that you, you know, face as a woman in management or a woman who's a leader? A few things that always pop up is obviously the confidence is a big thing, and just having the confidence to back yourself, having that fine line between, you know, are you too quiet and you don't speak up, or do you speak up too much and you get called out for, I don't know, being too bitchy or too loud or things like that. And women find that quite challenging within the workplace as well, because if you don't say enough, you're too quiet, and if you say too much, you're too loud. Whereas like usually men in that space don't kind of have that aspect to it. But there's other stuff as well, right? So it's about being patient for answers, because in the workplace, you want to be able to have answers straight away for the problems. But because I deal with a lot of people, you have to wait for them to come to the solution as well. You can't do everything yourself. So having, not having to, but needing to rely on other people to come up with solutions and their own answers in their own time, it's just that level of patience that you need to have. And I think that's just common across all leadership positions.
Separation of tasks.
Exactly. And a big thing that I think was one of my hurdles is that difference between like getting information and then actually learning that information as well. Because you can read a book, but if you don't absorb it and don't kind of, I guess, take notes or reflect on it and then put it into action, then it's just kind of like wasted time and wasted knowledge with nothing done. And I think that's a big, big thing, because we, you know, we'll read an article, but then forget about it in a week's time and don't do anything about it. Or, you know, you read something as, you know, simple as famous as Atomic Habits, you can read it, but if you don't apply it, then it's just wasted time.
Yeah, that's become you're in a good run, I'll just cut you off. Yeah, the big difference between just like information and then wisdom. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the wisdom has 100%. To be boiled down, and then the best way for it to solidify as wisdom is for you to get the info and then either repackage it or teach it to someone else. I know when I teach you something about business or something I've learned, it makes it twice as easy for me to recall later in the future, because I've done a job of taking the info, reassimilating it, and then essentially regurgitating it back out. And then the more times you do that, the more it becomes wisdom, and it just becomes part of your brain chemistry, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the whole thing, like you get, as like the manager or the leader or whatever, you get the information like passed down from the person that's above you, and then it's your job to kind of filter that down and re-educate and teach people like down the line. They call it like paying it forward. And like my previous role was within coaching, and I would utilize that quite a bit, where I'd be coaching people to help them with their performance management, get better at what they're doing, find the holes, find the gaps, and kind of like push them to do more, and obviously, you know, make it better aligned for like the company and all that kind of thing. And it's just, you know, like as the manager up, you kind of don't have that with the one-on-one team members. You have it more with the management team. So I'm kind of like leading the leadership team in a way.
Yeah. So the further you get away from the ground level.
Yes.
Then
yeah.
The less, I suppose that's why everyone feels a disconnect at an employee level versus the CEO level, because mm-hmm. every step along the way, there's more and more disconnect from the everyday goings on when it comes to any business, really.
Mm-hmm.
So like a good leader in my eyes would be someone that, if they recognize that that's a problem, would do their best to overcome that and to like touch base as frequently as possible with 100%. People at every level of the business.
Yeah. Well, that's something I'm like really, really focused at. They call it engagement, right? Like I try to be very engaged to every single like team member that I have, whether they're a casual, a part-timer, or a full-timer, or even just like one of the managers. Like I need to be, even just for like my sake, to be like knowing what's kind of going on. Because if I don't, then, you know, things not can fall. It's about the puzzle pieces, right? Like you need to be like fully aware of like what's going on. Then you can kind of like move things around, help people, that kind of thing. And I think like with this program, it's just going to help probably manage that all a little bit better. Like every, like no matter how far you rise, whether, you know, you're a CEO of a company or you have your own business, there's always places to move and grow like within your skill set. And I think that's a big takeaway, is like you're always trying to tighten these screws. And that's like a big thing of like all this info and stuff that you're getting, it's just making sure that you're actually adapting it and doing it as well. Yeah, very interesting. So it's like a 3-month long course, like spread out. So there's like Teams meetings and obviously in-person like coaching sessions.
Is it part of the company or is it an outside company that's teaching you or is it?
It's a collaborative. So it's an outside company that's teaching it. And then the like HR representatives from the company itself are like, they're teaming up and doing it together. But
where are the people that are running it? Where are they from? What's their experience? Or do they just go around business to business doing the same thing?
Yeah. So like I was having a look at their website and they.
So it's basically Happy Harold for women's leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have a lot of these like their coaches as well, right? So they call it like coaching the coaches. So like they're going around coaching CEOs, coaching people to make their skill set a lot better so then they can filter it down and, you know, have better interactions and better engagement with their staff. But yeah, from like what I can gather, they have like courses. So my company must have just purchased a course and this person comes in and then helps teach this course.
It must be difficult for them because people, the higher up you get, the more, I guess, I mean, not all the time, but more arrogant and kind of people start getting a big head in a sense of they know it all. They've climbed the ladder. They've gotten to that position. I kind of know everything.
Mm-hmm.
It must be hard to like break that barrier down to kind of reset people. And this is talking vaguely, but yours is about women. But in terms of getting someone at the second or third level below the CEO to like let their guard down and be willing to accept new information to apply to the team.
Oh, 100%. And that's something I'm very conscious of because obviously I've been working for the same company for so long. I got to remember that my assumed knowledge, not everybody does have. So I have like that humble moment or just like bringing myself back and be like, well, just because I know it doesn't mean everybody else knows it.
Mm.
So then I use that as like teaching, like I love teaching people. So I'll use that as a teaching thing. Like, oh, you don't know this? Awesome. Let me show you.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm.
Oh, well, maybe we can run a coaching coaching call.
Maybe.
Coaching the uncoachable, we can call it.
Potentially. Well, that's like, I don't talk about this. I know we talk a lot about eBay and talk a lot about like the small business and stuff. I know we don't really talk a lot about like what I actually do as a day job. But yeah, like my forte is people and managing and coaching. And yeah, that's what I do, my everyday job.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week and we'll talk more about everyday jobs.
Everyday jobs.
And your forte.
And my fortes. Your fortes too. Oh, all the God. Fortes.
Jeez, long list. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.